Well, this morning we're going to do something a little different than we typically do on a normal Sunday. This morning we are going to recognize and give thanksgiving for our past. We're going to celebrate a milestone anniversary in the life of this church. But we're also going to pray and ask God to do some great things in the next 30 years of our church. And let me just say as a matter of introduction that as I've worked to kind of put the pieces of this service together over the past 30 days, over the past month or so, as I've looked at our 30-year history, five of those years, my family has been able to be part of this body of Christ. And so as I've kind of looked back over the 30 years, including the 5 years that we've been in this church, I have literally, and I mean this with all honesty, I have literally teared up many times at the hand of God. You know, sometimes we just get so busy and we just keep moving on that we don't look back and we lose sight of the goodness and the power, really, of God and how He works in incredible, powerful ways. And so I hope that by the end of this, we will be giving God significant thanksgiving for what He has done, and that we will be praying for Him to do many other great things. I also want to say that over the past 30 years, as we've looked back, even the time that I have been here, certainly those 30 years have not been free of pain and struggles. This church is no different than any other church in the world. We go through our times of pain and struggles because we are made up of imperfect people, are we not? But still yet, in God's sovereignty and power, God somehow takes imperfect people, people who make mistakes, and He uses that for His good, and He uses that to advance His kingdom. And so I am so thankful that God takes imperfect people, such as myself, and He uses us to advance His kingdom forward. And so as I reflected on all that I've just said, I began to think about Scripture. I began to think about just all the things that God has done. And two Scriptures came to my mind, and I want to read both of those passages of Scripture. They're rather lengthy, but I'll have them on the board so you can follow along. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 26 says this. Just then, somebody came up and asked him, the pronoun there is for Jesus. Somebody came up and asked Jesus. Said, "Teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why do you ask me about what is good?" He said to him, "There's only one who is good. If you want to enter into life, eternal life, real life, life of significance, a good life, then keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he asked Jesus. Jesus said, "Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "I've kept all these," the young man told him. "What do I still like?" Jesus said, "If you want to be perfect," he said, "go and sell your belongings and give to the poor, and then you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the young man heard that command, he went away grieving because he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "I assure you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were utterly astonished, and they asked, "Then who can be saved?" Who can be saved? Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "With men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Pretty awesome. All things are possible with God, even though many things with men is impossible. So I went to Luke chapter 1, verses 26, and I thought about another scripture. And it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman, the Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and you will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have never been intimate with a man?" The angel replied to her, "Well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative, Elizabeth. Even she has conceived in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called childless. For nothing will be impossible with God." That's the theme as I've looked over the past 30 years, and as I think about the next 30 years. That's the theme that has just come to me over and over again. Nothing will be impossible with God. You know, Southgate became a mission of Temple Baptist Church. It started as a mission of Temple Baptist Church, I should say. And Pastor Nolan Carrier was called from Ava, Missouri, to come here to lead this church in that mission. On February 5th, 1989, almost 30 years ago today, this church had its very first worship service. Some of you in this room today were at that service. In fact, there were 67 people that showed up for Sunday school that morning, and about 128 people were present in that first morning worship service. Nothing is impossible with God. The original church building that consists of the area that you walked into and kind of the two wings, one to the left and one to the right, at least a portion of them, was owned by South Haven Baptist Church. And on December 3rd, 1989, 10 months after Southgate's very first worship service, the mission of Temple Baptist was constituted, and Southgate became an autonomous church, assuming $291,000 in building debt. By this time, the church had grown in membership from 4 people to 150, and Sunday school had grown to about 170, 10 months later. And I thought, nothing is impossible with God. In 1992, Southgate opened a 4,000 square foot educational building on the south side of the church, which represented approximately 10 new classrooms for children, students, and adults. That space also allowed Southgate to open up what we now know as Promise Preschool to our community later in that year. Money was raised for it, additional debt was consumed, was borrowed to build this expansion, and it opened. And I thought to myself as I retraced those steps, nothing is impossible with God. By mid-1992, Sunday school enrollment had grown to about 475. Sunday school attendance was about 270. Church membership had grown to about 400. And weekly worship average attendance was about 330 people on a Sunday. By 1994, Southgate had grown to about 648 members, and worship attendance was averaging about 440 on average. And in 1995, hallelujah, Southgate became debt-free. Nothing is impossible with God. Because of the growth, the Together We Build campaign was launched in 1994 to build the Family Life and Worship Center that you are sitting in today. $1.8 million was borrowed to build this building and to remodel much of the church, and that debt was paid off about 10 years later. So I wrote in my notes, nothing is impossible with God. One of my favorite stories was on 9/11/2005, Northbridge Church was planted out of Southgate, and 2 staff members were sent along with 40 church members, and a 1-year financial commitment of $100,000 was given to start a new gospel work on the north side of Springfield. And that work is still functioning today with well over 200 people in attendance every single week at Northbridge. So I wrote in my notes, Nothing is impossible with God. By the mid-2000s, Southgate had a vision to invest in the future generation of our community. $3 million was borrowed to build the Student Center, which opened in January of 2007. And today, over half of that loan has been paid off, and we hope to bury that note within the next 3 years. And I believe we can bury that note in the next 3 years to become a debt-free church yet again. I believe we can do it. I believe it will happen because I know that nothing is impossible with God. And honestly, more than anything I've said up to this point, as I've worked over the past 30 years with some help with the associational office from 1989 until 2019, where we are right now, this ministry has seen approximately 680 people profess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and to be baptized as an outward expression of their inward change. That's awesome. 680 people professing Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. And you know what I believe as I wrote in my notes? I said, I think God can do more over the next 30 years. I believe he can quadruple that. I believe he can do it, and I believe he will do it because I know that nothing is impossible with God. That doesn't even take into consideration how many people have been impacted and how the gospel has been transformed all over the world because of the mission efforts and the mission investment that this church has made. We give over $100,000 a year to missions in various forms, and we've done that for the past 2 years and significant investments beyond that, before that. And so I believe that God is going to continue to use this church to advance his kingdom because nothing is impossible with God. That's like the third time I've seen that video, and man, I tear up every time. It's just overwhelming. You know, I think about what the next 30 years are going to look like, and I only know two things. I know, first of all, that the faces will be different. They're going to change. They're going to change. Some people are going to go on to be with Jesus. We've seen that in that video over the past 30 years. We see staff members who will come and go, and that's going to happen over the next 30 years. We're going to see people grow up, little kids growing up. We're going to see that happen over the next 30 years. So that, I know that's going to happen. But the other thing that I know is going to happen is that God's kingdom is going to keep growing. God's kingdom is going to keep advancing. This church is going to continue to pour in to the advancement of God's kingdom, and we will see God's kingdom grow because of this church. That I know for sure. And I'm excited to see what God does to continue that happening. You know, I do want to recognize a few. I have a few people, as I've worked through the past 30 years, there's a few people that I know were here when this church constituted, and some were here when the doors were open for the very first time, and some of them are in the room this morning. And so I want to recognize those who have been here since the very beginning and are still giving and are still serving and are still continuing to contribute to this ministry. Jim and Connie Crane were here when the doors first opened. I don't see them here this morning. I'm sure the ice kept them away. But I have seen Jim and Carmen Dodd, and they're sitting right there. Would you all stand up for just a minute? And I know you were here the very first Sunday at that very first worship service. That's awesome. Tanya and John Stiegel, I know, are here because I saw them earlier today as well. They were here that very first Sunday. Bob and Judy Coyner were here, and I've seen Judy. I don't know if she's still here. Judy, are you here? There you are. Yes. And her husband could not be here today. Jim and Shara Wilson are here as well, and they were here when this church constituted. And I looked at a bunch of video footage, and I saw how active Jim was in building these buildings that we're sitting in today. Doug and Lynn Donaldson were here, and they are sitting right there as well. And I've seen pictures. Doug has a little less hair, and it's a little grayer than it used to be when he was here 30 years ago, but he's still here. Earl and Arlene Carpenter also. I have not seen Earl this morning, but they were here as well. Daryl and Betty Copeland are at the Fremont And my understanding was that they were here Sunday night, for the Sunday night service was the first Sunday that they came 30 years ago today. Olin Robertson also is homebound. Maxine Thompson and Jeanette Isaac all are still part of this church. They are just homebound and could not be here today. So pretty cool to look back. And I will tell you, there's no way I could have included all the photos and video footage that I pulled for Robert to make that video. I gave him like a ton of media, and he produced what you just saw, and I'm thankful for his work on that. But I enjoyed immensely watching hours of footage of people and coming and going and changing, and it was just a real blessing to see God's hand upon this church. Sometimes it was tough, I'll be honest with you, but it was good to watch and to see how God is so powerful. And when he gets the glory, he does incredible, amazing things. So here's what we're going to do for just a moment. We're going to give God thanksgiving for what he has done. And I've asked Dave Lanham to lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving this morning to praise God for the work that he has done. And so if you would join me in prayer when Dave gets up here, he's going to thank our good God for what he's done. Anywhere you want.
Lord, we have truly seen you do the impossible here. As we've watched these films and heard the stories, we're just so grateful that you have done beyond what human effort could accomplish to advance your kingdom. And we want to pause. We thank you for the opportunity we have as a congregation to just pause and look back over your faithfulness to us over these 30 years. And Father, we want to first of all thank you for those that had the vision to plant Southgate Church. As Derek mentioned, we stand on their shoulders, Father, and we thank you for their vision and their sacrifice to see Southgate established here as a beacon and a lighthouse to the community around us. And Father, we thank you that we've had pastors from this pulpit that have boldly preached your gospel and your word. And we thank you for the fruits of their ministry. We thank you for every teacher of every small group and children's Sunday school and all those who have been involved in sharing your word in that way. We remember, Lord, our musicians and those that have been parts of choirs and worship teams and praise teams, Lord, and have ministered the word of God in this church. Lord, we thank you for all the other people that have faithfully served in different ways. They're too numerous to mention individually here, Lord. But many people just come and faithfully serve you week after week, month after month, year after year, and not noticed many of them. But Lord, we thank you for their ministry, because Southgate would not be what it is without faithful men like that. And Father, we thank you for using our church, that you've seen fit to use us to outreach and missions here locally and at Bridge of Faith, as we've heard, and around here and in Kentucky and through the United States, and also around the world, as we have seen missionaries from this assembly go abroad to Africa, to Asia, to Europe and South America to reach souls who have never had the opportunity to hear the precious gospel. And so, Father, we do thank you for all of this. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together today. And we raise our Ebenezer as a congregation. Hitherto, the Lord has helped us. And we just tell you, we love you, and we praise you for all that you have done. To God be the glory, great things he hath done, is our declaration this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Dave. I want to preach a little bit here. I was reading my Bible last week and came across that incredible story in 1 Kings chapter 8. It's that awesome story about the dedication of the temple of God, where Solomon had built and dedicated the temple to the Lord. And it's just an awesome story in general to read. But there's a scene there in that story, comes out of the 10th and 11th verse of chapter 8, that always moves me when I read it. I won't have it on the screen, but just listen to me as I read this verse. It says that when the priests came out of the holy place, the cloud filled the Lord's temple. And because of the cloud, the priests were not able to be they were not able to continue ministering, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And I've always been intrigued by that verse. I don't really know what that means. That the priests were not able to continue ministering, for the glory of the Lord filled the temple. I don't really know what that means, other than this: it must have been an awesome experience. It must have been an incredible experience. I presume that verse means that God's presence in the temple was so strong that it literally created an environment where the priests just could not move. God's presence was so strong. I presume it meant that God's power in that moment, because of the glory in the temple, was so incredible, it was so present, it was so felt, that the priests may even have been afraid to move because God's power was so evident. I presume that it also means that God's purity and His holiness must have been so felt and so aware and so present that the priests were simply awestruck by the beauty of God. Whatever it was, God's glory was so strong in that place that the priests could not continue ministering. Man, I love that. I wish I could go back in time and experience what that must have been like. We get a little more narrative about that scene in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read that scripture too, because that story says this, that section of scripture says this. It says that when Solomon finished praying, he was dedicating the temple. When he finished praying, fire descended from heaven, and it consumed the burnt offerings, and it consumed the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord then just engulfed it, filled the temple. The priests were not able to enter the Lord's temple because the glory of the Lord filled the temple of the Lord. All the Israelites were watching, right? All of God's people were watching. They were watching when the fire descended and the glory of the Lord came inside the temple. They bowed down on the pavement with their faces to the ground. They worshiped and they praised the Lord, for He is good and His faithful love endures forever. The glory of the Lord was so present and so strong in the temple, the priests could not do their work, and the Israelites could do nothing but bow down with their faces on the ground out of reverence and holiness and praise to the Lord. That's what I pray for in this church. That's what I pray for in this church. I pray that God's glory and His holiness and His presence is so strong in this church that we all fall down on our faces on the pavement and we worship God because of His greatness and because of His holiness. That's what I so pray for our church. Because I believe when we make God the center of everything that we do and we give our lives to see Him glorified and to see Him praised, I think we will see Him do incredible things through this church. Because nothing is impossible with God. Lots of things are impossible with humanity. but nothing is impossible with God. So after that story there, after that little piece of scripture, it says that King Solomon began to get up, he blessed the nation, but then he began to pray for the people. He began to pray for them. There's no way that I could possibly read, well, there is a way I could read this whole prayer, but it would, we'd be here a while. There's several pages of his prayer, and I would encourage you to go back and read it, but it's pretty awesome. Solomon got up after that moment, and he stood before the altar of the Lord in front of the entire congregation of Israel, and he spread out his hands towards heaven, and he said this, "Lord God of Israel, there is none like you in heaven or above, on earth or below, keeping the gracious covenant with your servants who walk before you with their whole heart." This is important. "For God, you have kept what you promised to your servant, my father David. You spoke directly to him. You fulfilled your promise by your power as it is today. Therefore, God of Israel, keep what you promised to your servant, my father David. You will never fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel if only your sons guard their walk before me as you have walked before me. Hear the petition of your servant," Solomon says, "and your people Israel, which they pray towards this place. May you hear in your dwelling place in heaven. May you hear, God, and may you forgive. May you hear in heaven, your dwelling place. May you forgive, act, repay the man according to all his ways, since you know his heart. You alone know every human heart." Verse 50, "May you forgive your people who sinned against you and all their rebellions against you, and may you give them compassion in the eyes of their captors so that they may be compassionate to them." Solomon just prays, and he prays, and he prays, and he prays before the Lord. And then he gets up, and one final blessing to the nation. And he says, when Solomon finished praying this, wow, I thought the glory of the Lord had just showed up right there. Kind of freaked me out. That's what we're praying for, and he shows up, right? When Solomon, that was my fault. I hit the back button too many times, but 1 Kings 8:54 says that when Solomon finished praying this entire prayer and petition to the Lord, he got up from kneeling before the altar of the Lord with his hands spread out towards heaven, and he stood and he blessed the whole congregation of Israel with one loud voice. He said, "May the Lord be praised." Notice what he's telling the people to do. "May the Lord be praised. He has given rest to his people Israel according to all he has said. Not one of the good promises he has made through his servant Moses has failed. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our ancestors. May he never abandon us or leave us, so that he causes us to be devoted to him, so that he causes us to walk in his way, so that God's presence with us will cause us to keep his commands and his statutes and his ordinances, which he commanded our ancestors. May my words, I have made my petition with before the Lord, be near our Lord God day and night, so that he may uphold his servant's cause and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that Yahweh is God. There is no other." And then he closes by saying this, "Let your heart be completely devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commands as it is today." There is nothing that our God can't do, especially if we give God the praise that is due and we devote ourselves to him to walk in purity of thought, purity of deed, and we ourselves follow the commands that he has given us. If we will do that, church, as I see in that scripture right there, there's no telling what that video might look like 30 years from today. I've asked Miss Lou Paul to pray a prayer for our future. She's going to offer a prayer to our Lord. We're going to join into her prayer as she prays. I want to encourage you to plug into the power of her prayer as we ask our Father in heaven to do another work over the next 30 years within our church.
This week I gave a lot of thought and did a lot of praying about what the future of the church might be in 30 more years. And it was an exciting revelation at times what thoughts came to my mind. So forgive me that I had to write some of them down because I was afraid I'd forget them. So I'm going to be referring to those thoughts as I pray. I would like to ask you to join me in prayer as we approach the throne of God. Dear Heavenly Father, today we're celebrating the 30 years of ministry at Southgate. We've looked back on the people, the places, the ministries, and missions that you have used throughout the history of this church to continue to grow your kingdom and show your faithfulness to this church. We have a firm foundation now to build upon, and we're going to move forward in you, Lord. Our prayer is for your guidance toward what you want us to do next. You've done incredible things through Southgate, and I know you're not done yet. We want to be certain that we don't get ahead of you with our own plans and our own hopes for the future. I mean, we know that one of the best ways that we can ensure that we are following you instead of hoping you're just going to bless our preferences and plans is that we need to be a praying church. So, Lord, some of the prayers that I want to offer today, I want to start with our children and our kids' ministry, Lord. Please speak to each child now and in the future, personally and powerfully through us and their parents, as they grow to accept you as Lord of their Savior. Help us to plant the seeds of faith with our children and show us each how we can be part of that answer to this prayer. And we also want to pray for the students in our youth ministry. Make your presence known to these students. Meet them, please, where they are, especially in the places of confusion and questioning that the teenage years can bring. Show them their identity in you. Help them make their faith their own. And we pray that we, as a church family, will continue to help lead them into becoming the leaders of the next generation in Christ's kingdom. And God, thank you for the gift, the good gift of singleness. Please let our singles know they're loved and they're gifted and they're just a gift to our church now and in the future. And create in them an excitement to serve and lead in our church as many of them are doing and continue to do that. And in the world, even through their examples, that their lives are characterized by care for and discipling others. And dear Lord, thank you for the good gift of our families and our marriages. May our parents continue to value and cherish their children, even when there's tough moments of parenting. May our parents continue to have grit and wisdom and enable them to know how to model faithfulness, teach their children fearlessness, and fight for the institution of marriage and godly families. We also thank you for the staff at Southgate, the present ones, and for those who are going to join us in the future, and for their commitment to creating an environment for you to continue to transform lives. Give them wisdom and endurance in their ministries here. Strengthen their relationships with those that they are serving and those that they serve alongside, as well as with you, God. Thank you for all those who volunteer to minister and serve at Southgate and who give selflessly of their time to contribute to your mission at Southgate. Included in our volunteers are senior adults, of course. Help us as seniors not to just think of retirement, but think of involvement. There are so many wonderful current ministries and those I know will be here in the future. Remind not just us seniors, but everyone, that our contribution to our church is just not only important, but indispensable. Thank you for the way you've gifted every believer to take part in your mission now and in the future. And God, help us open doors even wider for those who don't know you yet. Help us to each remember we're on mission in this community, the communities that surround us, whether we're at the grocery store, at work, or where at school. Give us eyes to see the needs of our community and make our hearts and our hands ready to meet these folks. Help us prepare a place in our church for folks in our community to meet Jesus and to discover a place to grow, belong, and serve. As we reflect on the mission for Southgate, equipping every believer to go and make disciples, we pray for the courage and commitment to follow you now and in the future so that we can be equipped to do just that, whether it's on mission internationally, stateside, or here in our area communities. We pray that we'll continue to reduce our debt on the future generations building in your time frame so that we can use those finances to further other ministries that you lead us into. As in Romans 14:19, we pray, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. We know you desire peace and unity, encouragement for this body of believers. Help us, Lord, pursue what makes that peace and unity. Give us discerning hearts to know your will, and give us the courage to be obedient. To pursue these things, I know we will be led to peace and unity. And Lord, we know that without you and your Holy Spirit indwelling in each of us, we can't do any of these things by ourselves. But with you and for your glory and your presence, grant our body peace and unity. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
You know, kind of the theme of this morning's comments is that nothing is impossible with God. And the reason nothing is impossible with God is because of what His Son did for us on the cross. And that's how we're going to end today's service. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper together. And I want to just read a few verses that I jotted down in preparation for the Lord's table, for the Lord's Supper. Philippians 2, 5 through 11 says, Jesus, who existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, Jesus emptied himself out by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the point of death, death on a cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says this. It says, God made the one, that is Jesus, who did not know sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that incredible to think about what Christ did for us? None of this would be possible without the blood of Jesus. None of this would be possible without the atoning work of Christ on the cross. None of this would be possible if we didn't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed into us so that we become righteousness before God. None of this is possible if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ. For God loved the world in this way, that he gave his one and only Son, so that anyone who believes in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Life for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. The book of Corinthians tells us, and we always take this very seriously, that before we approach the Lord's table, because we approach the Lord's table for a couple of reasons. Number one, we approach the Lord's table because we remember what Jesus did for us. We remember the forgiveness that he poured out for us. And we're thankful for him saving us. But we also approach the Lord's table to give God reverence and glory for what he has done. We never want to approach the Lord's table with sin in our heart. We never want to come to the table with an unrepentant heart. We want to come to the table with a clean heart and a pure heart, thanking the Lord for the salvation that he has given us. And so we always take time to examine ourselves. We always take time to thank the Lord for what he has done for us. We always take time to confess our sin before the Lord, because it would be a mockery to come to the Lord's table living in active sin and an unrepentant heart. But when we come to the table with a clean heart and a confessed heart and a pure heart, then God does something special when we partake of that Lord's Supper together. So I'll give some instructions on how that will take place, but I want you to know that if you're a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, that means that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you are living your life for him as best as you can, repenting of your sin, living a righteous life as best as you are able, then I want you to know you are welcome at the table, and we want to encourage you to partake of the Lord's Supper with us. Doesn't matter where you're from. We are united in Christ. We are united through the blood of Christ. We are not united because we have Southgate Baptist Church on our building. Christ is what brings us together. It's what's held us together for 30 years, and it's what will hold us together for the next 30 years. So you're invited to the table. But we are going to take some time here as Laura sings for us to prepare our hearts. And I want to encourage you that if you need to repent of sin, if you need to ask forgiveness of sin, then I encourage you to do that. Let God work in you. If you confess your sins, God is just and right to forgive us of our sins, and he will forgive you of your sins. We're going to prepare our hearts for that. If you need to come to the altar during this time, you can come to this altar. I don't want to also assume that all of you have given your heart and life to Jesus Christ. There may be somebody here today where you haven't professed Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You've not given your heart and life to Jesus. And I just want you to know I'll be right here on the front aisle. And if you want to do that today, if God is drawing you to himself today, I want you to know I'll be right here. You just come on up and we'll hit our knees together and we'll pray that God will save you. And I trust his word that he will. And so know that while this time is happening and we are preparing our hearts, this is the time for you to prepare your hearts, to pray to the Lord, to give God thanksgiving, to confess any sin that he might bring before your mind. And I would encourage you to do this. I would even encourage you to take just a moment and ask God to reveal something to you, maybe that's sinful in your life that you don't even know is there. And then if he does, ask for his forgiveness, repent from that, and prepare your hearts to partake of the Lord's Supper. I'm going to pray, and then Laura's going to sing. You just do whatever the Spirit leads you to do. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, and then we're going to conclude our services. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. And God, I thank you for what you make possible through the blood of Christ Jesus. And I'm always thankful, Lord, when I look back on my life as a sinful human being, as a wretched human being, and I'm thankful, Lord, that you saved me when I was 25 years old. And I thank you, Lord, even as I continue to live my life as a saved believer in Christ. There are times when I slip. There are times when I fall down. But I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God is living inside of me. And when that happens, he convicts me and makes me aware of the error of my ways. And when I repent and ask forgiveness, you make me as pure as the first day you ever did. And I pray, Lord, that you would speak to your people during this time. I pray, God, that you would reveal sin that is in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you would convict us or push us or urge us to confess and repent of that sin that may be in our life so that we can come to the table holy, pure, ready to partake of the Lord's Supper. And God, I pray that if there's that one human being that's here today, or two human beings that are here today, that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt, they are not saved. And they know this through the Word of God, and they know this, Lord, through the Holy Spirit. I pray that if that person is here today, God, that you would make it abundantly known to them. And I pray, God, that they would make a decision today to repent of their past life, regardless of what that looks like. Embrace the salvation and commit their life to you today, and their life would forever be changed. I pray, God, that that would happen. I pray, Lord, that during this time, the power of your Spirit would work in a mighty and powerful way. God, we give you all the glory, and we give you all the honor, and God, may we give you all the praise that you're due. May we fall on our faces like the Israelites did when they saw the glory of the Lord fill the temple of God. We love you, Jesus. It's in Christ's name.
You never change. You are the God you say you are. When I'm afraid, you calm and still my beating heart. You stay the same. When hope is just a distant thought. You take my pain and you lead me to the cross. What love is this that you gave your life for me?
Invite you to stand to your feet. Precious Jesus, we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. We thank you, Lord, for the promise of your word that says that when we stand before God one day, on judgment day, he will not see our sin. Because of the blood of Jesus, he will see our righteousness that none of us are deserving of, but that you gave us anyway. God, because you live, we can face tomorrow. Because you live, God, we know awesome and amazing things are in store. Because you didn't stay in the tomb 3 days later. Jesus, you arose conquering sin and death. We know that nothing is impossible with God. Amen.
God sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon and empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, He holds the future, and life is
the whole.
How sweet to roll a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives.
Certain days,
because He
lives. Let's proclaim it, church. Come on.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He
go to chorus 2 now. Chorus 2.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Now just voices.
Because I know.
Because He lives. I just want you to know, if you don't have a relationship with Christ, He will change your life. Give Him your life. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to somebody. Give Him your life. He will change your life. He will save you. He will make you new. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow.